One of the most distinctive and recognizable voices in the business. He's hanging up his microphone after decades as the voice of the common man right here at VOCM. Vince Gallant is my guest this morning. Good morning, Vince.
Hi, Patty.
Congratulations, sir.
I thank you very much. Pleasure to be here. One of my final times, I suppose, but I'll be dropping by to say hello and, you know, keep an eye on things.
Well, it's a real honor for me to have you for one of your last moments here at VOCM. How many years in the business, and take us back to when you started and where that was?
My God, that's about 300 years ago.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. Evident PI, Summerside, Prince Edward Island. 250 booming watts of power, CJRW in Summerside. Bob Skierman, the general manager, he gave me a start in the job. See, I used to have a band when I was a kid, and we'd play. We had sponsored radio shows in Charlottetown and in Prince Edward and in Summerside. So it was only 35 miles between the two towns, but that was a fairly major little trip in those days. So we'd, one day I happened to be there, and I fronted the band and with the MC, and he was looking for an announcer. Well, at that point in time, I was testing butterfat. No kidding. For the butterfat content in milk at Central Dairies in Charlottetown. And he said, I'm looking for an announcer. You be interested? I said, well, thought very quickly, you know. And how much?
Good question.
Oh, let's face it, you were a kid. Money was important. You get some. And he quoted a figure. At that point in time, I think it was $35 a week, which was about $7 more than I was making. But we were getting about 20 bucks a piece, the guys in the band for the shows and that type of thing. And he said, come on in, try a tape. So I did that, got the job, and that was the beginning of it. It wasn't long after that that a friend of mine, CFCY in Charlottetown, called me and come on in. So they gave me a bit more money, and I went back because it was my hometown.
Tell us about how you made your way to Newfoundland.
That's a rather lengthy story in some ways, but I worked for Jeff Sterling in Montreal. I worked at his station, CKGM. When I went to Montreal first, I was working at CJAD, which is one of the standard, the E.P. Taylor chain, CFRB Toronto, not a group. And I worked for AD, but Jeff wooed and won their program manager, Ralph Kirchen, at the time. And though I was doing some news there, I was the green kid from the Maritimes, you know. And all I did was fill in a lot of areas in the newsroom because all the guys there were real pros. And, you know, they were going to be there for a good while. There was no place for me to fit in on a regular basis. Ralph said, you want to do news, come with me. And he got me an extra, I think it was $50, $60 a week. And I went down the street and not far from there. And we got, I became a newsman, period, that point in time. That's where they made me a news person in Montreal.
And then Jeff Sterling woos you all the way to this province to become the news director at NTV.
That's where and why I came here in the original instance. I've never been here, but I talked to my brother. He'd been through here. He was a career Navy man on the Coast Guard. And he said, try it. I think you'll like it. He said, I did. So I came here. I thought, I'll try it for a couple of years. Can't hurt, you know. That was 1976.
76 at NTV, and then Elmer Harris here at VOCM gave you a call in the early 80s. You've been at this outlet ever since.
I wound up here, and I've been very happy here. I've been well-treated at VOCM, first by the Butlers, then by the Steels, and by Stingray during the short period of time I've been working with them.
Well, when you do these types of Life and Times interviews, which you think should be very easy, but they're very difficult given the storied career you've had. You know, tell us about or recount some of the times where the news, some of the events that you'll never forget, whether it be the time that you ended up in the New York Times or some newsworthy events here in this province that will always stick in your memory.
I remember sitting in the hotel room when Don Crosby was doing the moratorium announcement, I tell you, that was a riot.
Mm-hmm.
A literal riot. I remember John said, if it helped, let them in. They want to give me a punch in the gob. I remember that type of thing, you know. And that was, God, you know, I don't know. I remember also when I was at NTV during, I think it was a Boxing Day, we had that disastrous fire that killed those senior citizens as well. I forget how many, but I think there were about two dozen or
mm-hmm.
27, 28 people died in that fire.
Yeah, and you know, there's just so many stories, I'm sure, that you could regale us with for weeks on end. But the news business has changed dramatically from the time you began to today. I'm not so sure it's changed for the better. It's easy access, whether it be social media and otherwise. What do you make of the way the news has changed and how people receive the news?
Well, it's good, I think, the way it's changing, because you're exposing it to a larger audience. People are better informed today because of the way it's changing, for one thing. I've become a bit of a dinosaur, actually, because with all the things on the social networks, the internet and everything else, I'm still, in some areas, pretty much a beginner. And I think it's time, you know, the time has come actually for me to step aside, let the younger guys move in and get along on that. But I like the way it has, it's progressed and the way it's changing. The only thing that I find in somewhat smaller markets is that a lot of the people come into it and they're looking for a job and a paycheck as opposed to looking for a career. And, you know, I remember when I started, I worked for the paycheck too, because you need the money. But there's a certain pride in doing the job for your station, for your employer, and for yourself. And as a consequence, I worked in a number of markets along the way, you know, a lot of them, none of them irrelevant, of course, but once I'd reach a certain point in a market where I felt I couldn't learn anymore, I go to a place a little bigger. And that's how my career developed, but I like the way the news is going today.
And you're the standard by which many will be judged for their announcing and their position as a newsman or newswoman. Vince, what's up your sleeve for your retirement?
Well, woodworking is a hobby of mine, mm-hmm. and I still do some writing, and I read a lot. I've always read a lot. I had the blessing of a grandfather who'd been a school teacher who was retired. He lived with us when I was small. He had me reading by the time I was 3 years old, and he instilled a curiosity in me that has never left, and it's amazing.
And it served you very well. Vince, we congratulate you on a legendary career. I don't throw that word around lightly. We wish you the best of health and happiness to you and your wife in your retirement.
Well, I thank you for that. And I find it rather amazing that, I guess, that people have found me interesting in many ways. Because, you know, you look at me, I'm just pretty much a plain guy. You know, and that's the way it's going to stay. But I thank you for your words.
Vince, good luck. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's the legendary voice of Vince Gallant, calling it a career after decades in the news business.